Republican candidate for the Senate seat that's currently held by Senator Dave Luckdefell. Sherry, first, good to see you, ma'am. How are you?
It's good to see you, and you pronounced my name right. I'm so proud of you. Good job.
I've actually been practicing. It's 7:22. Thanks for joining us, first off, Sherry.
I'm very glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, with the budget address today, there's so much tied up in this and what's going on in Springfield. You know, there wasn't hardly a recognition of the budget during the State of the State address. The budget address, it's really kind of time to learn some more, I would think. Or are we just going to go into the next fiscal year and pretend last year didn't happen? I mean, a lot of people up in the air.
I don't know what's going to happen. And I know there are a lot of people who have reached out to me from our region who are very concerned. They're hurting. John A. Logan's announcing layoffs. We've got people at the university, which is the largest employer in our region, that are very concerned about their budget. They had a bill to fund MAP grants, which on the one hand, I'm very happy that we would have MAP grants. I myself, benefited from certain financial aid when I went to college, but we have to actually have a way to fund it. So it's one thing to say, oh, we're going to spend money, but where are we going to get that money from? Eventually, they're going to write checks that are going to bounce.
Right. And we can literally go to communities like Heron and say, you want to show me the letter where the state says they're buying you the police cars that never showed up? Because they didn't have the money?
Exactly.
And it's happened. It's already happened.
Exactly.
And matter of fact, student loans, I know people that got the letters from senators and House representatives. They were going to receiving financial assistance from the state of Illinois. This has been a number of years back. And then didn't get it.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, this has already happened. Are we getting ready to do it again? I'm curious, during your run so far, what have you seen in the way of endorsements?
Oh, well, I've received several endorsements, actually. I am endorsed by the Illinois Family Institute, which is the leading pro-family conservative organization in the state. It's a Christian organization that gets involved in politics. I've received endorsements from Family PAC, which deals with constitutional and budget issues. I've received an endorsement from the Illinois Federation for Right to Life. I received an endorsement from ICEPAC, which stands for Illinois Citizens for Ethics. So I've received several endorsements. I think it's very interesting how the whole kind of endorsement structure, goes on in Illinois. When you are not the establishment candidate, and I am not the establishment candidate, it creates an interesting power structure. You have the Cook County establishment Republicans who want to retain their power and authority.
First off, I'm surprised to find out there's a Republican in Cook County because there has to be two to make a group. So
yes,
that means there's more than one.
Yeah, there are a few. There are a few of more liberal Republicans in Cook County.
Okay.
Don't forget, we got Senator Mark Kirk from that area.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well,
and there are
true.
A lot of his backers and friends
who
are up there, yes, in the Cook County area. But they're very interested in retaining their power. And when
that's what I want to talk to you about, just a couple of moments, if you don't mind.
Because
you talk about retaining your power. This is something that a lot of people are talking about, not just in Springfield, Sherry, but in Washington, D.C. as well.
Yes.
I mean, is that quest for power, that quest for control, is that how the state of Illinois got to where it is today?
Yes, it absolutely, unequivocally is how Illinois got to where it is today. And I was encouraged over and over again to get out of the race by the party powers that be. Nobody wanted me in because they know that I would challenge their authority and that I wasn't somebody who could be controlled and dominated by them, that I was going to do what was right for the people of my district rather than doing what they told me to do and to kind of stand in line and take orders from the powers that be. And so when we look at some of these endorsements, I think it's been very interesting to me because I've had several groups who have come to me and said, Sheree, you filled out a perfect questionnaire. We really like you. Secretly, we're really hoping that you're going to be the one who wins this particular race. But we've been told, we have legislation that we want to get passed. And if we go against that current power structure, we've been told that our bills are never going to see the light of day. And so while privately we are 100% in your corner, we're pulling for you, publicly, we can't make that kind of a statement because otherwise we will never be able to get any of our legislation through.
It'll never come out of committee.
It'll never come out of committee. Exactly. Exactly. And I've heard that time and time again. And that's one of the main things that bothered me about Springfield and why I wanted to run to begin with.
You know how many good ideas that I've heard about from legislatures that never got out of committee? can I give you an example
Please.
Of one that right now there's not a single person in this state that won't look at you, if they're honest, and tell you the school funding formula is unfair?
Yes.
Not one, Democrat or Republican.
Yes.
And yet it still can't be fixed.
Exactly.
Not one person disagrees that it's wrong, but still nothing can be done to fix it. Then what? How do we get in a situation like that? And did this, in fact, well, because I don't want to give up money. Yeah, it's unfair, but I'm not going to give up my money.
Right. Well, on the school funding formula, one thing that I've seen a lot is that some of the more, economic PACs or not PACs necessarily, but some of the more economic organizations that are from the Chicago area want the individual school districts to fully fund everything without any kind of a nod from the state. Well, that's fine if you live in a suburb of Chicago where you've got $250,000 houses one after another after another. But in a rural area like this where we have farmland, where the farmland is taxed at a lower rate and should remain to be taxed at a lower rate, that isn't always doable. If we're going to fully fund our own schools down here without any kind of assistance from the state, then we're going to end up closing several schools. We're going to end up with kids who are on a bus for 2 hours rather than an hour, as many of them are right now, just to get to the nearest public school.
Right.
And that's something that we definitely can't have. But the most important thing that we need to do is to bring 21st century jobs to Southern Illinois. We need to make sure that we are on the cutting edge of things. We have a wonderful university here. We have to make sure that the university is helping to help spur some of that job growth with some of the research that can happen at SIU. Did you know there's a company up outside of Chicago that has used ultraviolet light technology to make coal burn cleaner? So if you've ever gone to the dentist and have them, you know, shine a light on your filling to make it harder, ladies who go to get their nails done, you put your nails under a light and it makes your nail polish harder and it makes it last longer. They're doing that same thing to coal in the effort to make coal burn cleaner. And we need that technology down here. We need to be utilizing the resources of SIU in order to make sure that we have that technology here and to bring those jobs to Southern Illinois.
Well, especially after my sources telling me that another 102 people will be losing their jobs in Galicia and coal mine layoffs now.
Exactly. I'm 100% with
500 people and 1,000 in the last few months, counting the end of last year. 500 since January 1, my sources tell me. And that's a lot of good-paying jobs in an area that's already poverty-stricken. And
yes,
those people are going to need either re-education or something's going to have to be done to bring coal back. What
right.
happens to them in the meantime is the thing that I have most concerned. We're running out of time quickly. Another item is that I read about you just shortly after you and I spoke last time, and that is you had some new thoughts on gun laws and specifically FOID cards in Illinois.
Yes, I think we need to eliminate the FOID card. I'm a Second Amendment attorney. That is how I make my living as an attorney. I focus on gun rights. We had a great event last night at Alpha and Omega Guns in Murfreesboro. We're going to have more. I've got many of the Second Amendment supporters are with me because they know that no one out there will protect their Second Amendment rights better than I will. I have worked for the Illinois State Rifle Association. I'm very proud of that fact. I've helped to write legislation that has protected gun owners, and I will continue to write legislation that will expand the gun rights that were so heavily restricted here in Illinois. And I think that's an important contrast to draw between myself and my opponent in this particular race. You know, it's kind of hard to figure out exactly where he stands on certain things. He just wants us all to believe and trust him. But yet he's on record as wanting additional restrictions on concealed carry. He's on record as wanting additional, working for the Obama administration on climate change. It's the many faces. I'm running against several different people. And I think that the voters are looking for someone who's been consistent, who has been public, who has been out there. And I'm the only candidate in this race who has done that.
You know, just since you're a lawyer,
yeah.
when I read a news story about somebody's used guns illegally at this and that, I'm trying to remember one single time I have ever been seen them charged for not having a FOID card. One time. Show me one time in a published report where that is republished that this person did these crimes with this gun and didn't have a FOID card.
Yeah.
Why, if we have them and we spend all this time, you got to have them. I mean, I know guys that sweat about this because they're law-abiding citizens.
Yes.
And we're going to get ammo at Walmart. I got to have got to go get my FOID card out of the car, you know, right?
Yeah.
But then when I see a criminal, clearly that's why we have them, and then no charges against them for not having it.
The only thing that'll stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
The only people I see that get in trouble for not having FOID cards are hunters.
Yeah.
Not the guy who commits a crime with them or tries shooting somebody, flashes a gun at somebody, and has them illegally. I want to see a FOID card. I want to see you charged.
Well,
if they're going to charge a duck hunter or a goose hunter, then I want to see a criminal charge because that's what it's about.
I've had several clients who 30 years ago got into, you know, a little bit of a tussle with somebody. And in fact, I have one client right now who has a federal firearms license. He cleared the federal background check. But yet the state police went through my hand and looked at all these old documents and yanked his FOID card away from him. He went to the trial court and the trial court said, this is ridiculous. I'm absolutely restoring his firearm rights. I'm giving him back his FOID card. And then the state police and Lisa Madigan's office appealed, and they're still trying to keep him from exercising his fundamental constitutional right to keep and bear arms.
Sounds like it's about power, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly.
It's just a coincidence that probably came up.
Yeah, exactly.
Sheree Langenstein, she's a Republican candidate for the state Senate seat that's currently held by Senator Dave Luchtefeld. You'll see her on the March primary ballot. First, Sheree, it's good to see you again,
ma'am. It's good to see you. Thank you for having me.
It's very nearly 7:33 News Radio WJPF.